Welcome to the Eat Cleaner, Live Larger podcast, where award-winning coach, author, and former junk food addict Karen Nola shares her winning strategies to help you eat healthier, cut the crap, and create a life that you absolutely love.
See, I finally opened up my eyes, and I saw me coming back to life, that I'd be better.
Welcome to episode number 3, which eater type are you and is it ruining your chances of success? So this is going to be the first of probably many episodes where I talk about eater types, and if the concept of eater types is new to you, do not worry, all will become clear in the fullness of this episode. But for now, I want to talk to you about, first of all, how the eater types were discovered. And then in this particular episode, we're going to talk about how to discover what your unique eater type is, and is it actually working for you or against you in your bid to eat cleaner, live larger. So let's get into it. All right, so the eater types were first discovered almost 20 years ago now. And the very first eater type that revealed itself to me was through a female client that I was working with. And that eater type was the sensual eater, as in sensuality. And this became apparent to me because of the specific foods that she was being drawn to and how difficult she was finding it to let go of them. And so finally, after weeks and weeks of her coming to the coaching calls and saying, I'm still eating this and I'm still eating that and I don't know why, I said to her, do you realise that all of these foods have one thing in common, and that they are foods that feel sensual to you? And that was when a light bulb went off and both of us realised that this was a thing, that this was a predisposition that was both pleasurable to her, but also creating issues when it came to her weight loss journey. And so from that day forward, I started wondering, how many other eater types are there? Now, I knew there were many eater types to begin with because of coaching so many people and also paying attention to myself and those around me. And so slowly but surely, over the next few years, the other eater types stepped forward through different clients that I work with, until finally I had all 10 of them. And so in 2012, Eat Right for Your Personality Type was published by Hay House. That was my second book, and originally the content was going to be inside another book as the first exercise the reader needed to do. But my agent and I agreed that it was too important to be buried inside a book that less people would see. And so we decided to give the eater types a book all of their own. And so at the time, the eater types were covered by publications such as The Daily Express, Psychology's Magazine, and Women's Weekly. And over time, it became my number one tool for knowing how to work with a client from the offset. Because once I knew their eater type, the time it took to get to know my client and what approach would work best for them went from sometimes a few months of coaching sessions, which equates to about 10 hours, down to just one session, making it much more efficient for both of us and immediately giving them powerful insights into their own habits and behaviours around food. And so, as you can hopefully imagine, this was especially helpful for those who had a partner or children who ate very differently to them. Suddenly, everything made sense, and once it made sense, we could start to make progress. And so the important thing to note right out the gate is that while we all have each of the 10 eater types inside of us, one is more dominant for us at any given point in time. This is the type that is running the show and having the biggest influence on how your diet and body are showing up right now. And so, yes, you will have the other nine inside of you, and they will have different levels of dominion over your habits, but there will be one that is making most of the decisions and is responsible for your current reality. And so, how are you going to find out your eater type? Well, you're going to take a quiz. And the good news is the quiz is less than 2 minutes to take. It's online and you can find it at eatertypequiz.com. I'll also put the link in the show notes, but again, it's eatertypequiz.com, or you can also access it just through my website at karennola.com. And once you've taken the quiz, you'll come out the other side, not just knowing what your eater type is, but actually with a one-page document that I invite you to pin up somewhere in your kitchen, maybe attached to your fridge, that will give you the 101 on your specific eater type. And that will include how it can work for you, how it could be working against you, and the number one success tip so that you can be successful with your type. And so today I'm going to look at three of the most common eater types and talk about how this works with those eater types in terms of how it could be ruining their chances of success, but also how it can be turned around to actually be their greatest ally. And so once you've taken the quiz and you know what your dominant eater type is, you will have that one-page document that you can work with moving forward, and you can then be objective and see if you're currently embodying the healthy version of that type, which will help you to be successful, or the unhealthy expression, which will lead you to staying stuck or even going backwards. So let's dive into our first example of three today, which is the functional eater. So the functional eater is actually the first eater type, and as a child it was my default eater type because of the way I was raised. And the functional eater eats for speed and ease. And you'll see when you look at your eater type document that it will give you two words or phrases that pertain to your eater type that really are the things that drive your eater type the most. And so in the functional eater's case, it's all about speed and ease. And in their unhealthy expression, they will live off junk food, takeaways, grab cans of fizzy drinks, chocolate bars, you name it. They'll go for the quickest thing that they can find that tastes good and stops them feeling hungry. And so as you can appreciate, when someone eats like that, it's going to be really difficult to eat healthy, to get the results that they want, and to not be caught in this never-ending cycle of get hungry, grab something, get hungry, grab something, get hungry, grab something, because the functional eater rarely, if ever, plans, and they just want instant gratification. Now, all is not lost if you're a functional eater or you know someone who is, because as I say, every eater type also has a healthy expression as well as an unhealthy expression. So it really comes down to recognizing that there's choices. And one choice will lead to one outcome, the other choice will lead to a completely different one. And so in the case of the functional eater, their healthy expression is where they'll still choose foods that are quick and easy to grab, whether that's from a health food store, their own fridge, or a healthier section in a supermarket. But they will choose the fast foods that are clean and healthy. And so there'll be things like maybe salads that they can grab and go, healthier sandwiches, other super clean foods that are now coming onto the market more and more every single day, and shying away from those fizzy drinks in cans, the chocolate bars, the less healthy sandwiches that are filled with mayo and sugar and made with worse quality bread, etc. Because the truth is, not all fast foods are bad for us. And it's just a case of knowing which ones are actually going to tick the right boxes as opposed to the ones that you may have gotten used to. So if you are a functional eater, like I say, all is not lost. You will still eat for speed and ease because that matters to you. But it's going to be a case of what foods and drinks are going to be speedy and easy for you, and making sure that you know which ones are going to align with your specific goals. All right, so next we're going to revisit the sensual eater, and the sensual eater eats for pleasure and experience, and their unhealthy expression, and I think we all know someone like this as well, and that's if you yourself are not a sensual eater, is that they can think that the more of something they eat, the better, because they get really into their food and they think, oh my gosh, the more I eat of this, the more enjoyment I'm going to have, the happier I'm going to be, the better I'm going to feel. And of course, that is often not the case. Overindulgence is rarely a good idea, even if the taste is great. But what also tends to happen for a sensual eater is that they will be predisposed to really loving either very sweet things, which often translates to a high sugar intake, very salty things, which obviously translates to a high salt intake, or very spicy things, which can lead to excessive stimulation and then wanting to eat other things in order to subdue that stimulation. And so for a sensual eater, oftentimes they'll get on this loop of pleasure seeking, then feeling bad because of what they've eaten or how much they've eaten, and then they will wake up and do it all over again because pleasure is their primary driver. Now again, all is not lost, because there is a healthy expression for a sensual eater, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And that is about being very selective about quality, portion size, and enjoying the experience of really savouring smaller portions, but enjoying every bite. And this is something that the sensual eater, in their unhealthy expression, rarely, if ever, does. They're not experiencing food deeply. They're feeling the pleasure, they're feeling the stimulation, and they're enjoying what they're eating, but they're not feeling truly satisfied by it because they're not slowing down enough to really enjoy it, really receive it, and savour every single mouthful of it. And so the next level in all of this is being very particular, being very selective, being very mindful, and saying, I can still have foods that I absolutely love, but I'm going to really enjoy them, and I'm going to be really conscious as to what the ingredients are, that I'm still ticking all of the boxes from a sensory perspective, but I'm not just eating anything that tastes good. Okay, so that will make every bit of difference in the world for a sensual eater. And then example number three, another common one, is the intellectual eater. And the intellectual eater eats for health and nutrition. So they are all about, is this good for me? How much fat is in this? Should I be eating this? How much sugar? You know, the list goes on. And that may sound like a very good thing to do. And in some respects, it really is. But the unhealthy expression of the intellectual eater, which is when they really take this to the nth degree, is that they get into analysis paralysis around food. And food stops being any source of pleasure and enjoyment for someone, but it actually ends up becoming super, super functional from a nutritional perspective, as in, should I be eating this? Does this contain enough protein? How many of these should I eat? Am I overeating, etc.? And it just becomes this very laborious task, potentially, which is not how food should be. We should definitely be enjoying food, for sure. And so what can end up happening with an intellectual eater is that they get so bogged down in the details that they start to lose the pleasure from food. And that results potentially in boredom, which leads to rebelliousness, which leads to potentially binging. And so if you are an intellectual eater, or you know one, then chances are you'll know that they've also had a time where they've said, stuff this, I cannot do this anymore, I'm not enjoying food, it's become too much of a mathematical equation and I cannot handle it, and I'm just going to eat whatever I want and forget about all of this calorie counting and macros and micros and anything else, like I'm done. And that's because they've gone too far with it. That's because they've literally pushed out every ounce of enjoyment and pleasure from the equation. Now again, all is not lost because, as with every other eater type, the intellectual eater also has a very healthy expression. And what that looks like is a well-balanced, well-researched diet that feels good and that works for them in terms of having the results, the experience that they want. But they've done the research, they've put their mind to rest. This is what this looks like. This is what I should be eating. But it still ticks those boxes of feeling good and tasting good to them. And so effectively, this is about each eater type being in harmony and you being in harmony with the type itself. Because sometimes people think the eater type is out to get them, and it's really, really not. It's just like we as individuals have sides to us that are amazing and fantastic, and people love those sides of us. And then we have other sides of us that we feel isn't necessarily on our side, isn't helping us to be who we want to be and do what we want to do and achieve what we want to achieve. And so it's really just bringing all of that into the light and saying, okay, here's the two sides of the coin. And if you choose side A, then you're going to be successful and you're going to love the journey. And if you choose side B, you're going to struggle. You're going to feel like it's never going to work for you and you're going to literally want to throw the towel in. So with that said, I really hope that I've put your mind at rest, that whatever of the 10 eater types is currently your most dominant type, there is going to be a way, no matter what the type is, that you can work with it to create success and get the results that you want. So that's the great news. Now, in terms of why aren't most people successful when it comes to their diet and their results, it's because 90% of people are trying to follow someone else's plan. And bear in mind that any diet plan that you've ever seen or will ever see obviously has been created by someone, and that someone also has a dominant eater type. And so if you don't share the same eater type as the author, then guess what? You're going to struggle with it because it doesn't resonate with you. And this is really the elephant in the room when it comes to diet books, because it's no secret that every time a new diet book comes out, it's hailed as the one. This one is the one, finally, that's going to change everything for you. And so you buy it, you read it, you get excited about it for a few minutes because it convinces you that this is the approach. You try it maybe for a few days or even a few weeks and then fall off again because you think, I don't know, I'm just not really vibing with this. And like I say, it's because the author is going to have their own dominant eater type and they're going to be writing from that place. And so, for example, if the author is an intellectual eater, then the book is going to be overly weighted on nutrition facts and figures and statistics. And to a sensual eater, that is going to feel as dull as dishwater. And they're just going to cry, just give me some chocolate. Like, really, just give me some chocolate now. I cannot be dealing with all of this. This is supposed to be fun, and this is anything but fun. And then conversely, you might get a diet book that's called something like Lose Weight While Eating Chocolate. And the sensual eater thinks, hallelujah, finally, my book has been written. This is the one. But then, of course, you just get led into that path of just eat chocolate and miracles will happen. And it's kind of missing that all important detail of it's about quality and quantity rather than whether you eat chocolate or not. Ultimately, everything comes down to the calories in, calories out, right? When it comes to weight loss. But also the good news is that you don't need to find a diet book to follow, right? Your body will tell you loud and clear what you want, what you need, and your eater types will provide the how. And the how is the path to your success, because how you do something effectively brings the results. And so the how is super, super important. So in summary, your eater type is what's unconsciously driving most or all of your eating decisions and behaviors. And it can be working for or against you, or even a combination of the two. If you don't know what your eater type is yet, then obviously you can't know whether it's working for or against you. And you're also missing invaluable insights into yourself and why you do what you do. So you want to go ahead and take that quiz ASAP. Again, eatertypequiz.com. The other key things to know is it's not about changing who you are or how you like to do things or tend to do them without even realizing. The secret to being successful with your eater type is to clean up how you would do what you do around food. This is your first step and it will shine a light on everything. Finally, you'll understand why you do what you do. You'll know if it's working for or against you. You'll understand why some dietary approaches worked well for you while others repelled you and you couldn't understand why on earth someone would want to even eat that way. And knowledge is power, right? So when you have this information, you can move forward and create a diet that works for you. No stressing, no trying to be someone you're not, and finally being at peace with food because now you understand yourself and why you do what you do and how you can be successful doing it. All right, so if you'd like to find out more about the eater types, I invite you to hop over to my blog, which you can find at karennola.com/blog. And on there, you will find eater type articles, and that will continue to be added to over the months and years that follow. But I will reiterate what I said at the beginning, that the eater types literally changes everything. Knowing what your eater type is will fast-track you in a way that you've never been fast-tracked before, and you really will suddenly understand why your journey has unfolded as it has, and you'll be given the keys to success so that you can actually get the results that you want. So on that note, go take the quiz if you haven't done so already, and I look forward to sharing more about the eater types in future episodes, and until then, I will see you soon in episode number 3, and have a great week until then. Bye for now. Hey there, I'm so happy that you joined me for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the episode and I look forward to sharing more with you very soon. In the meantime, if you are ready to start making changes, then hop on over to eatcleanerlivelarger.com and download the Eat Cleaner Live Larger roadmap. Let's get your journey to health, happiness and vitality started today.